Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You gotta rise above it. You gotta harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Whoa, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two is already underway. Good morning. Dirt and Sprague are with you on this Thursday morning on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube. .com/1080 AM The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas.
I am a pimento cheese and egg salad in.
You are? Yeah, what's the review? Pimento cheese and egg salad. Give me a 0 out of 10 rating on the master sandwiches.
So, do you want me to rate this on a full sandwich scale? Like,
yeah,
if I ate a whole
like if you're
sandwich
gonna eat a full,
of it?
Yeah, like if you're at the Masters, yeah. Which one would you, you know, what grade would you give it and which one would you go for first?
So, if the Masters, to my knowledge, on the grounds, it's just pimento and bread, and that's it. If that's my choice, I will grade a 5.8 out of 10.
Okay.
I know that's a failing grade. It's a fine flavor. I just couldn't do a whole sandwich of it, and I'd prefer to have some kind of meat protein with it.
I mean, who doesn't want to get...
No, dude, get right to the meat!
Exactly. I still think pastrami would be really good. I don't know why I think that, but it just feels like
I'm trying to remember back. I don't remember if I saw any of those. I'd have to go look. I know people do the screen grabs of the menus every year. I can't remember if there was one that came with a plus protein, but I'm pretty sure it was just the pimento.
Just had the egg salad during the break. The egg salad is a solid 8.8 out of 10.
I mean, I could eat the whole, I'm going to eat that whole tub.
The only thing I didn't like about the egg salad wasn't even the egg salad itself. I would have added pepper and a little dabble of hot sauce just to spice it up a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit of an extra zest as you're eating it.
But it's really good. The barbecue chips are a 10 out of 10. And I'm sure the caramel corn and the chocolate chip will also be a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, so we'll say, we'll do the brisket at some point later on in the show. The brisket is still to come.
Well, we're an hour into the show. We've magic hatted and we've debated about old school sports attire. We have not gotten to the big story. Luka Doncic made his illustrious return to Dallas yesterday.
He did.
And I thought it was, you know, I missed it live because I had to drop my kid off, but I went back and I paused, so I watched it. And the video and the intro, I mean, instantly, ESPN just grabbing you. And I'm going to say something here. We had a return game last year with Damian Lillard.
Did we do a video for him?
Yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Teddy had been born like a week
earlier. It was a fog for me. I didn't remember if we did a full long video.
It was a big deal. And you see these all the time when we did a video. I think we did a video. I confidently say we did a video for Drew Eubanks. I think maybe twice. Maybe I'm wrong. Blaze, anybody in the Blazers, tell me if I'm
wrong
on that.
Please help us out there.
But my point is usually you get videos with return athletes, right? That's a normal thing in sports.
Right.
I'm going to give you a take, and I don't think you're going to like it, or maybe you agree with me here.
Oh.
I'm watching this video. It's emotional. It's great. Luka! And then he's sitting there, and he's welling up. You could tell he clearly cares about this fan base and playing for that team in that city. And that team just traded him out of nowhere in the middle of the night, and people still don't really understand why. And I see this video and I see his emotions. And I already had the take that he wasn't going to kill him in LA. He was going to kill him when he went back to Dallas. And he had 31 in the first half. And I went, God, I'm good. I called this a mile away. But that video, I understand why they made it. I think that video pisses me off more as a fan seeing it and then, welcome back, Luca! As if he's 39 years old on the victory tour and not in his mid to late 20s and still an absolute death machine to go against. I get why they do it. I loved the raw emotion by him. The fans showed him so much love the whole game.
Fire, Nico.
But I just kept thinking, if I'm at this game and I'm a Mavs fan, I'm looking around like, you guys are idiots. Yeah. You made this great video. You're hyping him up in the lineup. And like, you just chose to quit on this.
Yeah, it made it. I saw, we follow some folks in Dallas. We had Gavin Dawson on the show yesterday. We have a couple of the folks that we know down there. And they all had, who are connected to the team, and you know, some of them fans of the team, some of them root for him. They all had the same takeaway, and I would have had it as well. If I was in Dallas.
So they were feeling the same thing.
That made it a million times worse.
I agree.
It almost like, I, you know, not that time heals all wounds, because this the Mavericks organization, there was a piece that came out, I think yesterday, from McMahon on ESPN, where he basically predicted and project, like, they're losing millions and millions and millions of dollars. Advertisers don't want to be associated with them because they're a toxic brand now in that community. They had too many season ticket holders to count the day after the trade that called and said, I'm canceling, give me my money back. I'm canceling my season tickets. So they're losing advertising dollars. Their attendance is sinking like a stone. They're losing millions and millions and millions of dollars long term. So time doesn't heal all wounds. It's going to take them a long time to get over this. But at least it starts to, you know, feel a little more normal. And then you see that video again and you're just reminded of like, wait a minute. We just made like a 4-minute long highlight reel of all the great moments he had in a Mavericks jersey. I'm now remembering as a fan, yeah, that's right. He hit that game winner and that game winner. And he was, you know, everybody loved him in the locker room and he was great in the community and he was great with kids and he led us to the NBA Finals last year. Like, it made it a million times worse. They had no choice. They had to do a video. But dear God, if I were a Mavs fan, I don't even know how I would have received that last night. Would have been livid.
Dirt, the video ends with him walking off, going to the finals.
Going to the finals. Celebrating
last
winning
year.
The conference finals.
Last year.
Yes. But they didn't show taking a beer out of his hand. They should have done that. A little bit of petty from the Mavs in the video would have been nice.
They should have showed the freeze frame of Finley taking the beer away, froze it, and then have a caption, this is why we traded
that
him.
Would have been the better video the Mavs could have done. It would have made me feel slightly better as a fan. I'm still pissed off
it
at the organization.
Have made me feel good.
If you show me that video and then like video that you got of surveillance cameras of him in a hookah bar at 4 o'clock in the morning, then at least it's like, all right, at least you're telling me why you traded him.
They have not read the room at all on this.
No, it's terrible.
Dumont, their figurehead that speaks publicly, he's the son-in-law for the Adelson family. He came out and was like, you want a Kobe. You want a Shaq. You want a Michael Jordan. As if to suggest that Luka doesn't work hard because, you know, he comes in, he's a little out of shape. As if he didn't just lead the franchise to an NBA Finals.
Right.
And so he has those comments. Nico's basically like, I feel like I'm right here. You want defense. Defense wins championships. We're on the right timeline. So I went and got a 31-year-old center who often gets hurt and then played one game and then got hurt.
And then our other guy that we traded for tore his ACL.
I mean, that dude is known for sitting in the stands, like the mid-level of the 100 level. Yeah. He has been nothing but in the tunnel with security since he made this trade.
Because he's not safe. Somebody's going to whoop his ass, man.
Well, you know, they're firing Fire Nico at the end of this game because Luka Doncic drops 45 on their head, and they blow them out, and they win, and LeBron's great in the fourth. And you're just watching this going, we've ruined all of this. And, you know, I saw some Blazer takes yesterday. I was like, if the Blazers would have done this, I probably would have stopped being a fan. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
See your takes. No, you wouldn't. But I want to play this. Talk about just not reading the room. Jason Kidd, pregame coach, press conference, you know, who's playing, who's not, gives his thoughts on, he says this is a business. The business sometimes suggests this is trades. This isn't the only trade that's ever going to happen. And then he follows that up with this quip.
Some are comparing it to Babe Ruth, which is kind of cool.
As if to suggest they're the Yankees in this scenario.
We'll be a part of history.
Some are comparing it to Babe Ruth, which is kind of cool.
It's just kind of cool. which is kind of cool.
It's so
can you
bad,
tell me,
man.
Jason, why that was kind of cool?
You want a curse? You want a 100-year curse as an organization? Is that kind of cool to be associated
curse.
With that? I mean, just, I'm telling you right now.
84 years in between titles. So.
I am coaching youth basketball. If I had a kid of the magnitude of Luka on my team and another parent said, we're actually going to move him to this other youth team, I would quit. I'd say, well,
I'm down.
2108.
You.
Get your NBA Finals tickets in Dallas.
I'm out.
2108.
2108. That's when we'll get there because you're now a part of the Babe Ruth trade of the NBA.
Jeez, man.
It's amazing, too, to have an owner come out who's not even an owner of the team. He's a Nepo kid who married into the family of the Adelsons.
Well, he would tell you, I am the owner.
I love the whole, I traded away a guy because I didn't like his work ethic when the guy was born into wealth and he didn't have to work for
anything. Married into that wealth.
Well, he's also, I mean, you're not marrying.
He's probably a rich.
You're not marrying into that level of rich without being of rich.
Your
There's
last
no
name's
chance.
Not Dumont.
No.
And you didn't come from money.
There's no chance that guy's from the slums and married his way in like a Cinderella story. Zero chance. His dad is a hedge fund manager who's firing millions of people across the country. Like, dude, there's
cashing in on the stock market tanking.
Nothing positive happening around this family. And this fat ass has the balls to sit up there, say, I prefer my stars with a work ethic like Kobe Bryant when you haven't had to work for anything in your entire life.
I now am on his Wikipedia because I am actually
find out about his family. There's no chance, dude.
His last name's Dumont.
Yeah.
Dumont. There's no way he didn't
no
come
way
from money.
A Dumont doesn't come from money. And there's no way the Adelsons let their daughter marry somebody who's not from like a Fortune 500 company.
I would say you're 100% accurate on that part. Here was Luka postgame with Lisa Salters on just crying basically at the starting lineup because of the video and then going out, dropping 45 on them.
I don't know how I did it because when I was watching that video, I was like, there's no way I'm playing this game. But, you know, all my teammates had my back. They were really supporting me, so I really appreciate that.
Tough night yesterday, man. Just tough night.
I feel bad for Mavs fans, man. That's a good fan base. They've supported their team. They've had some fun players, great runs, you know, won titles, been to championships. Like, they've had, you know, a really strong run here in the last 25, 30 years. It's just brutal. Every time I'm reminded of it, I'm like, God, could you imagine having one of the faces of the league and then out of just complete nowhere to the point where nobody, it's so crazy that nobody believed the story. And I just was, I was taken back in like a, you know, time travel machine yesterday.
I still don't believe it.
It's just like, wait, what? That happened. Now he's making his return to Dallas in a Laker jersey.
In case you missed it, there were Maverick fans at this game in Laker jerseys with N. Harrison on the back.
Yeah.
Because they're like, way to just help another team.
Bunch of fire Nico signs, fire Nico chants the entire game. Good luck.
Is he going to stay the GM or is he going to walk away? Because like a whole city hates him.
At
it's
this
his own
point,
city.
I mean, you can imagine firing him right now.
Well, I don't even fire him. Dumont's backed him, but like you want to keep being the GM of this team.
Your
and they
ownership,
hate you?
If your ownership has any hope of credibility in the future, you can't fire him right away.
You can't. You
no,
have
no,
to let
I
this
don't
ride
think
out.
They would fire him. Yeah. I'm asking, this dude's in the tunnel and the entire arena is chanting, fire you.
Yeah. It's not
like if they were telling you pre-show, fire Dirt, right. And it's 20,000 loud.
20,000 people chanting.
Are you still doing a radio show? Or
probably
are you,
not.
Yeah, you're probably like, I got to go home.
Is there a way I could do a radio show in secret without having to be in public? There's not
he's
a way.
He's a podcaster at that point.
I'm a podcaster at that point. I'm shifting
this guy
gears.
Always home.
He's never coming into the studio anymore. Like at least he showed up, but man, that was wild.
Early career investment banking. He worked at firms called Miller Buckfire and Bear Stearns. Yeah.
Also, look at the guy, dude. There's no way that guy's marrying into money looking like that. It's one thing if you look a certain way and you're like, oh, all right. Come on. No chance. That guy is dripping in gold.
All right. Luka comes back to Dallas. Fire Nico chants everywhere as we are still in disbelief that trade is actually real. The Blazers decided to fold up shop in overtime. And one little Magic Hat thing I wanted to just point out in the NBA. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How I Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How I Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to be as honest as I can with these master food reviews. And I'm telling you, the Georgia Pecan Caramel Popcorn is, not a lie, the best caramel popcorn I've ever had, and I can't eat more than a bag of this because I won't stop.
Just gonna keep flowing. Just keep on flowing, baby.
Unreal. I can't wait for the cookie.
Yeah, I'm not a big caramel corn guy, but that's delightful.
Yeah,
that's,
when you don't like delightful. It that much and you say, like, that's pretty good. Like,
yeah, that's not something I seek out at baseball games or sporting events. I'm not usually, I'll do a bag of popcorn before I do a bag of caramel corn like that.
Sure.
But man, is that good.
Your beloved Portland Trail Blazers played in Utah yesterday.
They did, huh?
You guys want to, huh? You want to give me my, hey, let me give my props? Told you guys.
I hope you bet it. The odds were kind of decent.
I did not bet it. No, I didn't bet it. I didn't actually watch most of it, but I did see Shaden had himself a hell of a game. He went for 37. He was 6 of 12 from 3.
What are you scoring over? How many did he have in overtime?
Well, about that.
Oh,
the Blazers.
I saw he had, I didn't watch any of the game. I saw he had 37.
Yes. He was 5 of 10 from the free throw line. Like, be better. Yeah. But
especially late. Yeah. Clutch time.
Yeah. Well, they blew their lead. They had a lead in this game most of the way. And Utah came back, tied the game. And then Tamani on the final play got a great pass from Tease, missed the layup. He had a layup and he smoked it, turned the ball, put the wrong spin on it. It rims out, horn goes off. They go to overtime. We did not see Shaden Sharp in overtime. So the Blazers quite literally a layup away from beating Utah at the horn.
And then decided to tank.
And then went to overtime and said, well, let's pack it in now. We couldn't win. We didn't. We're going to lose on purpose. And Shaden Sharp did not come back. He did not play in overtime. And it was a lot of Chris Murray. You know what I mean? Like, they got to overtime and they said, it's Chris Murray time.
I love how bad this team is at tanking, man. Can anybody make sense of that?
Well, like, they used to be good at it.
We used to be good at it. Last we would play a bunch of garbage cans and plumbers for the last 2 months of the season, and it was great. You know, but better draft odds. Now, can somebody explain to me the idea behind trying to win a game in regulation and then getting to overtime and deciding to tank? Can anybody make sense of that?
I can't, because I was going to play you this clip, because this happened last night, by the way, and it helps the Portland Trail Blazers, but this happened last night.
Harrison Barnes. Watching the three. Got it! The Spurs win the walk-off! HB got some separation. And bottoms the game winner right there.
So there's Warriors TV. The Spurs, via Harrison Barnes, somehow beat the Golden State Warriors, who everybody was picking to go win the Western Conference, and people were telling me Steph's the GOAT. They beat the Warriors in Golden State at the buzzer. And so with that, it's interesting. You've got San Antonio. You're probably not going to catch the Spurs there.
You're two back. You need them to lose both their final two, or win their last two games. You need to lose your last
two
games.
So here's an interesting little note, because we're in a tank race now, right? Portland clearly tried to lose that game once it got to overtime.
Yeah, they are 1-2, by the way, against San Antonio. So San Antonio has the tiebreaker over you.
They play Golden State Friday. Golden State is still playing for playoff positioning, so they will be bringing the full arsenal to Portland. And then your final game is Sunday against the Lakers. The Lakers may or may not have anything to play for. But on that note, the Spurs and the Suns lost last night to the Thunder. Their season's in hell. Boy, you want to talk about bad things? I'm just going to say this to you because I saw this graphic on the Suns broadcast. Yeah. Get this. So the Suns, they put up a graphic. Oldest team in the NBA.
Yeah, not good.
Highest payroll. We know they're not going to make the playoffs. And how about this kicker? This was on the graphic. Don't own their first round pick until 2032.
Oof-da.
2032. 32. This is why I would say I would trade Devin Booker.
You have to blow it all up.
I would blow
season.
It completely out of the universe.
You can get a good haul. Somebody's going to give you stuff for Kevin Durant. I know he's old, but somebody's going to give you stuff.
Not great stuff.
Not great stuff, but Booker. You'll get stuff. Booker you can stuff. Get good stuff yeah. for. That needs to be a total rebuild.
But the Suns and the Spurs play each other next.
They do.
So the Suns don't have any reason to tank because the Rockets own their pick, as we addressed yesterday.
I don't think they're trying to. I think they just suck and Kevin Durant's out and they've quit on the season.
But the other side of that is they don't care. And so, and the Spurs, I thought, didn't care, and then they cared last night. So, you know, you got a chance here to either move up a spot or get to nine. Now, will it happen? I don't know, because Portland's clearly not going to try against Golden State and the Lakers.
Yeah.
But Phoenix, San Antonio play each other, so I guess the worst-case scenario would be you lose out, San Antonio beats Phoenix, but then loses their last game. I believe it's Sacramento?
Let me check.
And then Phoenix loses out, and so you don't... Well, I guess in that scenario, would you be 10th if Phoenix...
I don't
know. The same
this
record?
This is all getting confusing to me now. Who's on first?
I don't think you would.
San Antonio's last game is at home against Toronto.
Toronto.
That's
thank
their last
you.
Game. They yes. got Phoenix on Friday and then Toronto on Sunday.
So I don't know if the Spurs are going to end on a 3-game winning streak here, but maybe you pass the Spurs, but also maybe you don't, and maybe Phoenix ends up passing
and
you with tiebreaker.
Also,
stuff.
Maybe the Lakers have nothing to play for on Sunday, and you find a stupid reason to win that game because we do stupid things from time to time in this city. So,
Swag, we have the tiebreaker on Phoenix, correct?
I believe so. I will double check.
Because I'm looking at the standings yeah. right now, and it has Phoenix ahead of us, even though they have the same record.
Yeah, so I'm assuming the Suns beat us the majority of the times in the regular season.
We beat
we
them twice
them.
In Portland. I remember that. It was back-to-back games.
Yes, it was. The 1st and 3rd of February. I'll see if there's any other games earlier in the season. I'm scrolling through. They lost to them back in December, and they lost to them in November.
So it was a split.
So it's a split.
So based
so then
on
you
the
go
tie,
to like conference record. I don't know what the next tiebreaker
so
is.
So Portland could be sitting comfortably in the ninth.
That's right where you want to be. That's a great way to end your year. I love that they know how to tank, but not in regulation, but in overtime, and also not in the middle of March when there's only a month to go in the season and you're not going to make the playoffs and you win 4 games in a row. When you could have locked all this up about a month ago. I love all of this. They're doing it very well.
I thought this, the funny part of this was the, we're winning. We missed the game-winning shot. Let's lose.
None of it makes sense. I just don't.
I mean, it does make sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense to tank a game in overtime when you tried to win the game at the end of regulation.
Well, it does for this reason. San Antonio won last
you
night.
You were a Kamara layup away from winning the game.
Okay, can
and
I?
And then out of nowhere, you yeah. simply decide, yeah. you know what? Yeah, let's go lose the game.
We won't agree on everything on this, right? We kind of agree on the
there's
overall
no strategy. That's the problem.
Well, there is no strategy. But what I would say is, wouldn't you be more angry, Mr. Angry Pants, today, even though you're eating your master's food? I think you'd be in a good mood. Wouldn't you be more angry today had they played Shaden to go win the game?
Oh, without a doubt. They shouldn't have played him in the first place. He shouldn't have been in the lineup at all.
That's fine, but he went for 37, baby.
That doesn't matter. You're playing a G League roster.
In on a high.
No, you can't have it both ways. This is ridiculously dumb. It made no sense to play guys last night. It makes no sense to play guys at all at this point in the season.
But they did what you wanted them to do. They lost the game.
Yeah, congratulations. You're a Kamara layup away. You should have done this a month ago.
But
and in the grand scheme of things, it means nothing. It means literally nothing.
When they do what
I'm
you
not
going
to get excited
again.
About the 9th best odds in the draft lottery. I'm not lowering my bar to that level to act like that's an accomplishment in the final week of the regular
you
season.
You enjoy your cup.
Yay, 9th worst record. We did it, guys!
Boy, you slept on the wrong side
of
the
bed. We have a 3% chance.
Yeah.
That's going to be when we win the lottery.
That's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like bragging about me running a 20-minute mile. I did it, guys. I did it. That's not something to brag about, man. That's not something to brag about.
Boy, you know how slow you'd have to walk 20-minute miles?
The season's over. The fact that people are still playing is laughable. I'm happy that they lost the game.
Well,
I don't think
playing?
It's gonna.
They got to suit up nine. I think.
Yeah, they got to play, guys.
Where's the Rip City Remix roster at? How many they got on that roster? All of a sudden, Manaya's in the lineup. He came out of nowhere. So why wasn't he playing a month ago?
Oh, you're such
G-League
an angry
season's over.
You two people are right. You're so angry.
Yeah, bring him up to the big. Bring him up to the big leagues. We do that in baseball. You expand your damn rosters in September.
Wait
get him up.
We draft Dylan Harper, and we got Ant, Scoot, and Harper on the court.
I can't wait because we know Anthony Simons is not going to get traded.
Three-point guard lineup.
He's going to play his entire career in Portland, and Scoot and Shaden in year 3 and 4 of their careers
like
will probably still
teams.
Be coming
like,
off the bench.
I'm just drafting shortstops. I'll figure it out
every time. We'll eventually move you to left field down the line.
Didn't the Angels have a draft where they just drafted all pitchers?
Yes. Yes.
We need some arms. We're desperate for arms right now.
Keep drafting point guards.
Finally, we found it. The next Magic. I mean, look, I get that they technically could catch San Antonio. You know what would have helped catching San Antonio? Losing games. I mean, just doing this more than the last four games of the regular season would have helped.
San Antonio, if they're wise, will not try to win the last game against Toronto because Toronto can't move up and Toronto can't move back.
San Antonio's, they just won last night against Golden State. So I don't know.
If you were a Spurs fan, you'd be Mr. Angry Pants in San Antonio.
Without a doubt. Would be Mr. Angry Pants because it makes no sense.
Don't put more pressure on that
to
pick.
Be winning games at this point in the season. None of this matters. The season's over on Sunday.
Swag, what did Herm Edwards say? Why do we play games?
You play to win the game.
Exactly. Unless you go to overtime and then you play to lose the game.
Then you lose the game.
At that point, it's over.
Yeah, what was the excuse? Minutes? Oh, guys, we're at too many minutes. You played Shaden for like 17 minutes a game for 2 months of the year. Now he's at too many minutes?
All right. Really will not want Cooper on Utah. I hate Utah. I hate the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, it's going to be funny when all of a sudden that turns around in like 2 years and Cooper Flagg is a Jazz.
Well,
because they did it right this year.
All right, well, Mr. Angry Pants, we'll move on from this. We've got other dealings to get to. We got our Azalea cocktails here. The Masters is underway. Give you an update on that. And Andrew Nimick's going to join us for the ticker at the top of the hour, 8 a.m. NFL draft stuff. We're just going to talk NFL draft with Andrew Nimick. All of that is ahead. Dirt and Sprague, back with more.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm going to have some fun with audio coming up in a moment. Andrew Nimick will join us top of the hour. We'll talk a little NFL draft with him. Do you know the NFL draft is in 2 weeks?
I know the buzz has been kind of watered down a little bit, and maybe this is me in my own little sports bubble, but I've been reading a lot more and watching some of these takeaways from these pundits. I went through this beast by The Athletic ranking, and I just like went through it, and I found where every Oregon Duck was on their position, like Connerly's thing, because they give you little notes when you're in the top five of your position because there's a photo of you. Connerly's thing was not surprising and surprising at the same time. Josh Connerly's thing, because he is the fourth rated offensive tackle in this draft. He's behind Campbell.
Yep.
The Missouri
Banks,
kid.
Probably from Texas.
No. Banks is a guard. So they got Banks as the second rated guard.
Oh.
And then Simmons from Ohio State is ahead of Connerly. And Connerly's thing, it just says, must get stronger, but has promising foundation and is going to start early.
Aha.
I was like, got to get stronger.
Seems like a pretty big cat to me, but I get it.
But he's the smallest of the four ahead or three ahead.
What's his arm length, though? I need to know his arm length.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the problem with some of these tackles, too, is the arm length good enough?
You got to have big arms, man. You got to have big arms to do it. So we'll talk some NFL draft coming up top of the hour with Nimick. We don't have a lot of time here. Fun with audio right around the corner. I will ask this question. What percentage chance, this was in my notes literally a week ago because it came out a week ago.
Yeah.
What percentage chance are we giving the Naked Gun reboot with Liam Neeson to be good?
So Rust came in the day that trailer got released because we didn't bring it up on the show because I saw it late.
Yeah.
And he was like talking about this movie and I feel like it's not, I don't know. I like the angle of him being the son of Leslie Nielsen.
Okay, you think that's a good angle? Seth MacFarlane did it, by the way. He's the one behind it.
Yeah, I like Seth MacFarlane. I think Ted 1 is a good movie. Ted 2 is just a money grab. I don't know if Seth MacFarlane makes good movies, though. I can't remember what the name of it. He had a space movie come out, and it absolutely flopped at the box office.
Ted 1's the only one that I can think of.
He's good on... I like Family Guy. It's, staple, easy watch show, but... Outside of that, I don't know what to really expect from a Seth MacFarlane movie.
Now, I know that Leslie Nielsen, the original Naked Gun actor, was a bit of the same thing where he didn't have a lot of comedic roles early in his career, and then they kind of turned him into this comedic actor, and it became kind of what he was most known for.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about Liam Neeson being the star in a comedic movie?
I think he could pull it off based on what I saw in
the trailer. I will find you, I will kill you, phone call guy and well, Taken.
The trailer starts with like a bank robbery.
Yes.
And then a little girl comes in through the SWAT unit, walks into the bank licking a lollipop, and the robber's like, "What do you want, little girl?"
And then it's Liam Neeson.
And then he rips a mask off, and it's Liam Neeson and just his whitey tidies. And
I mean, I'm going to watch the movie. I'm gonna dive in. I'm a big Naked Gun fan from back in the day. Mm. But I saw the trailer, and I thought, this is an interesting reboot. I'm okay with Seth MacFarlane being the guy that did it. I'm with you on his movie history. Ted 1, though, was an all-time comedy. Like, Ted 1 is up there for me.
Wait, did you ever see A Million Ways to Die in the West?
I did not see A Million Ways to Die in the West.
So I forgot. That movie was so bad, I forgot it existed.
It was a Netflix-only movie, right, if I remember correctly? Or I can't remember if that was in theaters or not.
I think it came out in theaters as well. But yeah, that movie was terrible.
Not good.
So I don't know what to expect.
I just don't know how. Liam Neeson being, it's like, it's one of those to me where it's like when you see Vince Vaughn in a serious role, I have a hard time taking it seriously. And I'm not saying, like, you can have funny writing around it. I'm sure Liam Neeson's going to be fine in the movie. It's just, that's going to be interesting to me to see how
it
looks.
Did we want an add-in movie to this series?
No, I don't think anybody was clamoring for it. But this is kind of the trend we're in right now. It's superhero movies, and let's bring back a movie from 30 years ago or 40 years ago.
Well, it's not. At least they're not doing a full reboot.
No.
It is a play on the
it's
old
It's a
one.
Play on it, and they're all kids. And there's a scene in there with OJ's kid looking at the picture of OJ
because they're all
from
saying,
the Naked movies.
Yeah, they're basically saying a prayer to their dads who are all cops. And then
that one didn't age very well.
Did not age well.
That was in my notes for a week. I'm curious what chance. I'll give it a 42%. Chance to be a good movie.
I bet it's one of those you watch it, you have some laughs.
You get a chuckle. I mean, there'll be laughs.
That was fine.
That was fine. That was okay.
Wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen.
Not a theater movie. It's one of those, like, it's a Saturday night. There's nothing on. Hey, look at that. It's out on Netflix now. Let's check it out or something along those
lines. Yeah, I'm more excited about David Attenborough's Ocean movie coming out on May 5th
that's
than
a
I
bigger
am
deal for
the
you.
New Naked Gun movie. Yeah.
Galaxy Quest, somebody said, is a space movie. He did Galaxy Quest?
Yeah.
I did see Galaxy Quest. That was not a good movie.
It's terrible.
Not a good movie.
So that's my thing, is like, he's, you know, great TV writer, and has some, like, Ted 1 is a good, that's a good movie.
Ted 1 is a good comedy movie.
But, I'm looking at the filmography here, and I'm just like,
not a good role to do.
Outside
right
of, like,
there.
Some appearances in movies and voicing things, making the actual movie itself,
not a strength. Not a strength of his. We'll talk to Andrew Nimmick coming up at the top of the hour. That will be our daily ticker today. We'll give you an update on what's going on. Day one of the Masters at Augusta National. We still got to eat our pork barbecue sandwich. That's coming up in the final hour of the show.
Saving the best for last.
Right around the corner. So we'll get to that at some point. I do want to have some fun with audio from a couple things that happened the last 2 days, both of which I enjoyed. That's next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We got our Masters cocktails going in here. They're delightful. It's a great start to a Thursday. Got some food. Sprague's addicted to the caramel corn. That's been found out. He's now eating a chocolate chip cookie. Look at you getting fat over there. I'm proud of you.
Well, you know, deep down, I'm fat.
Deep down, you're fat. It's
I
all
had
right.
to try the cookie. The cookie's really good. If you warm that cookie 25 seconds...
Needs it just a slight warm-up. You give it a slight warm-up.
Now put bird feed on your bug zapper.
Yeah, it's delightful.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to these. These are from the last 2 days, and I thought they were quite enjoyable. First off, I'm assuming the answer is no, so I'll just go ahead and tell you how glorious it was. Did anybody watch the par 3 contest yesterday?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay, swagged it. Okay. Any par 3 contests on your TV?
Poppy McElroy.
Rolling in putts.
Sinking a putt.
Look, it's a delightful day. The kids run awesome. Around. It's par 3. It's, you know, it's fun. You get players on the broadcast. They're interviewing guys.
Yeah.
If you're a golf nut, it's kind of a fun little thing. And the
I
guys,
knew what was going on.
Yeah.
I just never have watched
totally
it.
It.
It's not really my thing.
Guys let their hair down. It's just it's a fun kickoff to Masters Week. And some say it's one of the more enjoyable days of the week because everybody's relaxed and not stressed out, you know, freaking out over every shot.
The cool thing about that I'll acknowledge, and I don't watch it, it still is the coolest hole-in-one I've ever seen in my life. John Rahm.
John Rahm's hole-in-one?
And I know there's been others
skip
that
shot
have skipped,
hole-in-one? Yeah.
But just the video of Rahm's shot skipping across.
One of the most remarkable golf shots ever made.
Yeah.
Like, just trick shot, doesn't matter what, just He skipped it across the pond.
I don't care
that
there weren't stakes involved. That's the best hole in one I've ever seen in my life.
So it was fun. The people let their kids swing, and their wives and girlfriends will try and hit. Caddies will step up. So it's just a fun, you know, like, hey, look at that. They're trying to hit it over this water, right? Well, this came out of yesterday. This is Tommy Fleetwood, they call Fairway Jesus. He has never won on the PGA Tour, but he's been a great player
for
a long time.
He's never had a win?
Never won on the PGA Tour.
Not on the PGA Tour.
Not on the PGA Tour.
He's won DP World Tour events.
He's won European events. He's never won on the PGA Tour. He's actually a really cool story. He married into a family who had his now wife had already had a son, a teenage son, and he like caddies for the son and amateur events. And so he's a really genuinely good dude. And his actual son, Frankie Fleetwood. It's a hell of a name.
It's awesome.
Just stole the spotlight yesterday.
Everybody's hair as long as his?
Dude, it actually is. Kind of. He's got long hair. Everybody was freaking out about Poppy McIlroy rolling in a putt, you know, kind of doing the sweep sideways putt, which was kind of a funny moment. This was great. Frankie Fleetwood tried to hit a drive over a par three over water to land it on the green. He couldn't quite make it. Young Frankie Fleetwood came up just short.
What is he, 7'8" or something?
He's somewhere 7 or 8 in that range. And he was interviewed by, like, Sky News or something.
Sky Sports.
And they asked him, Frankie, how did it feel? You came close. Here's what he said.
Well, I've been doing my hardest to get it over the green. I've been practicing as hard as I can. Just not reaching it this year, but I'm just trying my hardest.
Did you
That's
mess
not
with that
edited.
Audio?
That's not edited at all.
It's a chip. That's, it's like an
it
Irish chipmunk.
It sounds like an Irish chipmunk. I mean, he's British, but it sounds like... Let's listen.
British chipmunk.
Listen to... I saw this yesterday, and I'm dying laughing so hard of like... First off, I had to figure out, because I didn't see when I saw the initial clip whose kid it was, because I think he's standing next to Shane Lowry, and I'm like, is that Lowry's kid? Because it sounds a little Irish. I'm like, is that a little beef? And then I find out it's Frankie Fleetwood.
Well, I've been doing my hardest to get it over the green. I've been practicing as hard as I can. Just not reaching it this year, but I'm just trying my hardest.
Dude,
that's great.
Just not reaching
that's
it this year.
Frankie Fleetwood, you're going to get it next year, Frankie. Yes. You're going to get it next year. We all have faith and belief in you.
Also, such a good name. Frankie Fleetwood.
Yeah. Isn't that a solid name?
Oh, my God.
I'm jealous of that kid's name.
But now I want Shane Lowry's kid to also go into this
joint interview
and have that same accent, talk just like that, and call him Slider.
So that happened, and then this was two nights ago. We had to play this. I know you guys are glued to the Jupiter Hammerheads minor league baseball games.
I can feel, because there have been some nights there with the Hops where they're out of pitchers or what, and you're just, they can't.
It's minor league baseball.
And it's also, it's developmental umpires. So sometimes you get umpires that aren't dialed in
we
as well.
We just need an automated system, is I think what I'm taking away from this.
Sometimes the young umpires have a bad night, too.
Credit to these young broadcasters who clearly are, like, just out of college, probably making, like, 20 grand a year to call these games for the Jupiter Hammerheads. And their team set a record in a bad way, and here is their call of it.
This is only my fifth season, and I've been in baseball, you know, a little under a decade because of my college days. I've never written so many RBI walks in a book before. This is... Listen, I know that I'm supposed to be optimistic about our team here, but I mean, come on, guys. Like, I could go out there. Let me loosen up my shoulder. I'll go help things out, because you got to put it over the plate. You got to give your defense a shot. You have not been given a shot all game. We're broadcasting for maybe two people right now. That's
the game's
for
like
sure.
20 to 3.
These two people are thoroughly mentioned and entertained right now.
Next pitch, misses outside, ball 4. Well, why not? 21 walks today. The payoff pitch from Reyes. Outside, ball 4. So there's the third walk of the inning, the 22nd walk of the game,
22.
And that'll load the bases for Manuel Beltre.
This has been a night. I can't say it's been any kind. It's just been a night.
It's one of the nights of all time. That's for sure.
It's a historical night.
It's one of the nights of all time. Yes. This is a night in history. Meaning I hope it never comes back.
22 walks in a game. Said I believe a minor league baseball record. I believe I read
that's
that correctly.
Probably.
22 walks in a game from one team.
That's mighty bold of them, by the way, as broadcasters that are clearly in their 20s. They're very young 20s.
Very young, early on.
To just be saying on the air, I could be doing better than this.
Dude, just get me in the game.
It's one thing for us to give that take. Yeah, we're just doing a radio show.
You're working for the team.
That's like swag at the Pilots game. My God, I could shoot a 3 and make it at this point.
Make your free throws. I can make that free throw.
Yeah.
22 walks.
Probably don't want to be doing that.
We're down to about two people listening at this point. The game, the score, when you look at the bug, because I saw the video, it was legitimately like 22-2 at that point. They had walked in like five runs during the game. Bases loaded, walk.
What's worse, watching your team get annihilated with a million walks or watching your team lose a game with a walk-off walk? Being the Astros or the Jupiter,
the
whatever.
The Ducks last week at Portland when they beaned three guys in the bottom of the ninth and beaned the winning run in.
Is that how they lost the game?
Yes.
Wow, that's a hell of a way to lose a game.
No one cares!
Not even me. a walk-off loss with a walk.
It's such... I saw the Mariners won that way.
The balk off is the worst.
My team's balk off before. Santiago Casilla years ago had a balk off loss. This is a fun thing for like, I know we're against it now. Yeah, bad time to get into it.
Yeah.
Where does watching a pitcher of your baseball team come in and set up a rally for free and then you lose the game rank on like a frustrating fan thing for you? Because that's near, you guys have given me guff. The Giants didn't score a run for two straight games against the Reds. That game was nothing to nothing on Monday night or Tuesday night, whatever it is, all blur. And it was not, Logan Webb was great. They bring in a reliever in the eighth inning and it's walk, walk, hit batter. And then it's like, okay, let's get him out. Hey, here's bases loaded, nobody
nothing
out. They score two runs and like a sacrifice fly and a ground ball. And
your starter's
dude,
dealing.
Just throw a strike, man.
Not that Braves starting pitching's been electric this year. That is the story of the Braves. Their bullpen has been
just horrible.
And they lost it yesterday in the ninth to Trey Turner.
Yeah.
I
put that up there with like
every time.
Your basketball team missing free throws is up there of like, late game situations.
Like that's how you lose is free throws.
You just make your damn, and then missing like a short field goal. Short field goals to
short
me are there.
Short field goal, free throw, or walk off walk. What's the worst of the three to lose?
Worst way to lose. That's a hell of a poll question.
That is
right
a poll
there.
Question.
22 walks in a minor league baseball game. They set a record, and the kids were like, hey, put me in, coach. I could do better than that.
I need more Frankie Fleetwood in my life.
A little more Frankie?
I've been doing my hardest to get it over the green. I've been practicing as hard as I can. Just not reaching it this year, but I'm just trying my hardest.
Just not reaching it this year.
Frankie Fleetwood, man. You're going places.
That's
Frankie.
Awesome.
You keep fighting. You're going places. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. Andrew Nimmick kicks out the final hour next on 1080 The Fam.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.